But here's what I want to focus on now. And this is where I think you're going to find the process of unraveling human behavior and helping people change to be most powerful. What affects your decisions long term? Not just moment to moment. What creates a long term pattern that makes somebody really angry or really depressed? Not just in the moment, but long term. Where they start to live that way. Or somebody feel really excited or grateful or happy or playful or fun. That's shaped by three forces, the three forces of destiny that together create kind of your worldview, the way you interpret life, the way you make decisions. This is the ultimate filter. The box that we all live in is different. You know, I like to call it the worldview, or let's say your blueprint, kind of what your mindset is about how to make decisions. And the three forces within this box, if you will, are number one, the needs that are driving all your decisions. See, if you're doing something, if you're going after something, whether you're trying to make $1 billion or you're trying to help your children or you want to create peace on earth or you just want to create comfort for yourself or your family, whatever you're doing, you have a reason. And the good news is, having been with 3 million people from 100 countries, it became obvious to me after a while that there were some common patterns. And I believe there are 6 reasons people do anything. I call them the 6 human needs. And they are briefly, number one, certainty. And when I talk about certainty, I'm not talking about something that you may value or not. Values or goals or beliefs are very different than needs. Beliefs are learned. Needs are inborn. This is the driving force, one of them in all human beings. Certainty means to have a sense of certainty that you can avoid pain and that ideally you can have some comfort or pleasure. Certainty you can be comfortable at some level is certainty you can survive. So how do people get certainty? Well, we can get certainty in ways that are empowering, kind of neutral, or disempowering. So for example, you can do it by working very hard to master something. So now you're not fearful, you're not uncertain, you know how to make this thing happen. You've been doing it for years, right? Or you can do it in a negative way. You can lower your expectations. You can say, okay, I know it's all a waste of time because nothing ever works anyway. You know, why even try? So the only differences in people are, how do they get their certainty? How much do they get? And they do it in a way that's obtainable or sustainable. Does that make sense? Now, what's interesting, though, is if you were totally certain every single moment of your life, if you knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, how it's going to happen, then after a while, what would you start to feel? Bored. Bored out of your mind. So I always tell people, God clearly has a sense of humor, because our second human need is uncertainty. Right? We need uncertainty to feel alive. Think about it. Variety is the what of life? Spice. You know, I always ask people, you know, if your life was the same every moment, every day, you knew what was going to happen, what someone's going to say, how they're going to say it, you go crazy, right? So you got to have variety. Oh, by the way, how can you get variety? You can get it by an interesting conversation, by spending time with a friend. You can get variety by trying new things. You can go extreme, like jumping out of airplanes, or you can do it by watching an interesting movie or reading an interesting book or taking on a new goal. There are so many ways to do it. You can get variety from different foods. All variety is anything that'll change your state, that'll give you a different feeling. Does that make sense? Third human need, the need for significance, the need to feel unique, the need to feel special. The need to feel important. Who would you say needs to feel significant? Everyone. The only difference in people is, how do you go after it? What are your beliefs about how to meet this need? Do you get significance by serving, or do you get significance by dominating? Do you get significance by dressing cool and unique and having tattoos and earrings and locations we don't even want to talk about? You know, so you feel cool and unique and special? Or do you get it by being more generous than almost anybody else around you and knowing that you come from your heart and so you know you're unique in that way? Let me tell you a principle now, a very important one. One that if you're going to help create change in yourself or other people, you got to understand. Anytime a person links up in their mind, consciously or unconsciously, that thinking, believing, feeling, or behaving a certain way meets at least 3 of these needs, then that thought, that feeling, that emotion, or that behavior becomes an addiction. It becomes a habit. So, for example, violence has been with humanity for almost ever, and probably always will be unless we have a consciousness change, because it meets 3 needs powerfully. Certainty at a 10, significance at a 10, and variety at a very high number. Because whenever it occurs, you don't know what's going to happen. It's different every time. It also meets a fourth human need called connection. Connection and love is the fourth human need. Who needs to feel connected? Who needs to feel loved? The person says, I don't need any love. You know, I'm an island. I'm all by myself. I don't need anybody. Oh, thou's protest too much. Every human being needs it. In fact, it's in our DNA. Our need for love is our survival instinct. When you're a baby, the only way you survive is someone loves you. What does it mean when, say, someone loves you? It means they put you above their own needs. They put you first. So we all need connection and love. It's the deepest part of our soul. The problem is, love is a bit scary, isn't it? Man, if you love somebody and you open up, you're so vulnerable. And now, man, somebody could come and hurt you. They could take it away. So most people settle for connection. So you can connect through intimacy, through lovemaking. You can connect through a walk in nature. Anyone can get connection and love. The question is, do you do it by problems? Do you do it by giving? Do you get the need met in neutral ways, negative ways, or empowering ways? Because our life is shaped not by our needs so much, but by the ways that we've learned to meet them. So this is the first force of destiny, and these are the first four needs. The force of destiny is your needs, the driving force of life. Think of it as the target you're after. Now remember I said there are six of these needs, so what's number five and six? Well, the first four I call basically the needs of the personality. What I mean by that is everybody finds a way to meet these first four needs, but the ultimate needs not everybody meets. And these are what make you feel fulfilled. Not just alive, but vibrantly alive, fulfilled. And they are the needs, I think, of the spirit. Meaning, I'm not talking about religiously. I'm just saying this is what your spirit craves. And I've mentioned them earlier. Number five is you must grow. Everyone on earth, we either grow or we die. Everything in the universe grows or dies. A relationship is growing or it's dying. There is no neutral in-between place. It's a constant process that's occurring throughout life. And the reason we grow, I believe, is to meet our sixth human need, which is the need to contribute. We grow so we have something to give. Giving beyond yourself, contributing something, is what gives life meaning. So as I said earlier, I mean, think about it. There's only so much pleasure you can get by yourself. You know, you do something, you achieve something, you have an experience of something. What's the first thing you want to do? Tell somebody, share with somebody your experience, because what does it do? It magnifies it as you contribute that state, that feeling, that emotion, that thought, that insight to them. That's why we want to share. That's why we want to contribute at some level to other human beings. You get kissed, you make $1 million, you achieve the ultimate goal in your position, you get your kids to pass through school with flying colors, 4.0, magna cum laude, whatever. That moment is temporary. What makes you feel alive is that constant growth and feeling like it's more than just about me. If there's a lesson of life, when you want to help someone make a change, whenever they're experiencing enormous pain, they're almost always focused on themselves. They may say, no, I'm focused on my kids and I'm not making the difference I should, but they're really focused unconsciously on I'm not doing what I should have done. I'm not enough for my kids. They're focused on themselves. Get outside yourself, find a way to contribute, and it's very easy to make a meaningful change, and your life has depth. So these are the six human needs. Now, as I said, there's only two differences in people. And one of those differences is which one of these needs do you value most? In your own life, and by the way, I know this changes from situation to situation, but in your own life overall, there's a center of gravity of where you tend to focus. What I'm most interested in knowing is what are your top two needs? Of all six needs that you've got to meet, which two do you value most? Some people value certainty above anything else, and man, you can see it in them. They're trying to control everything and everyone. They get upset if you start to change things. They're really upset if you're late. I mean, they're trying to lock everything into place. Now, everybody values certainty, but some people value it as number one. If you value uncertainty, you have a totally different life. You're like, who cares? You know, if you value certainty, I can promise you, you know where all the exits are in this room or the building when you go in. If you value uncertainty, you don't care. I'll get out of here somehow. It's a very different approach. Now, everybody needs both, but which one do you value more? If you value being significant, that means you have to be most important, most unique, most different. We can predict that's a very different life than if you value love, most importantly. If you're going to treat people differently, you're going to interact, different things are going to stress you. Is this making sense? So which of these six needs in your own life for a moment do you believe are top two for you? And now, at the core, we all want to give and experience love. That's the most important one. But when I say which two needs do you value most, I don't mean in your gut. I mean the way you live operationally. Do you tend to, like, you're a lover inside, but You want to have certainty before you open your heart? So you really value love, but the way you live is you value certainty first. Or are you a person that values significance first because you have to do these significant things before you know you're good enough to be happy or feel good or love yourself or let others love you? What do you value first? If you're really honest with yourself, what would you say the second one is? It's hardest to be honest with yourself about this because you're in the middle of it, isn't it? So when people are talking, you want to see what's driving the conversation, because if you help people meet their needs, you can change the game in a heartbeat. See, people get hooked up about how to meet their needs, and that's the second force. Remember I said two things? One is, which of these needs do you value most? Here's the second force to destiny: your belief systems. See, you have beliefs about what it has to happen for you to meet these needs. We have a map. Think of your needs as the target. And if you're targeting the center of the target, the bullseye is significance, you're going to be moving in one direction of life. If the bullseye is certainty, you're going to go to a different direction. If the bullseye is love, a different direction. But how to meet that bullseye is driven by your belief systems, your map, your rule book. So how you go about meeting your needs, think of it this way in the most simplistic terms. There are many kinds of beliefs, beliefs about what life is, beliefs about who you are, different values you have, different rules. We'll cover these, and I'll do it in a really simple way. There are seven kinds of beliefs. We'll cover them on another day. But for right now, think of it this way. Two people could both value significance at the top of their list as the driving force in their life. But the difference is they may have a different map about how to become significant, a different set of beliefs, a different rule book. One is Osama bin Laden. His way to become significant is to do what? To kill people, strangers, men, women, children, who he believes have a different belief or a different life or a different religious approach than he has. Now, you see, that same day of 9/11, when he was meeting his need for significance by killing people, there were firemen, New York firemen, and we all will remember for as long as we live. You know, if you're American, the images are probably deep, deep, deep in your psyche of these men, and women in some cases, running into this building where they knew their chances of coming out were very small, doing it with pure courage. Why? Why would they risk their life? Some did it because it's the ultimate significance to sacrifice your life for another. They have a different map. Their map is, if I die serving a stranger, my life has deeper meaning. Someone else is, if I die killing a stranger, my life has deeper meaning. Same need structure, different belief system. Does that make sense? So very often in life, we look at people's behaviors and we make generalizations. Oh, they're doing that for this reason. And the truth of the matter is, people do things for lots of reasons, but they may be doing it for a different reason than you think. Some people do it for certainty. Some do it for significance. Some do it for love and connection. Some do it for variety. Some do it for growth. Some do it for all the above. The more needs you can meet by taking on a behavior or a thought or an approach, the more fulfilling it is. So think of it this way. If there's a target you're after in life, a set of needs you're trying to meet that are most important to you, and that's subconsciously driving all of your decision-making, where you're going, what you're doing, what you like, what you dislike, whether you're going to meet or not, it's based on your map, this list of beliefs, rules, values, fears, desires. Again, we'll cover those in more detail, but they're guiding you on how to get to it. Well, a lot of people's map of the world, their blueprint, their belief systems are outdated. They've never been updated. You came up with them years ago, and so you don't get where you want to go. But the third factor that affects us is the one I've already spoken about, and that is emotion. Emotion. See, as I said earlier, people find a primary emotion, a place that they go to live. Some people, again, always find a way to be frustrated or sad or angry. Some people always find a way to feel deep emotions of feeling insecure or not enough. Some people find certainty no matter what, or they find confidence or courage no matter what the situation is. Some people are always playful. Whatever patterns of emotion you've buried into your body on a regular basis, they filter your map and they filter your needs. So what we're going to discover as we go to work with people is, instead of just saying they have this behavior, so we're going to label them as bipolar. They get euphorically happy and they get incredibly depressed. Well, if we really take the time to understand this person instead of just drugging them, we may find out that this person is trying to be significant. That's the driving force, and they want certainty that they can do it. And they have these big swings because they think that significance comes from being successful in financial terms or making their business go. That's their ultimate dream. They think if they achieve that, they're going to feel so significant. But then all of a sudden they deal with the natural challenges and problems that you do as you're pursuing something in your business or your life, and it's not working out. And so now it looks like it's never going to happen. They're never going to be significant. Now they're depressed. And so they go up and they go down. Instead of saying that's a biochemical thing, let you and I get to what the source is. What needs are they after? What beliefs do they have? And are they outdated? Do they need to be shifted? What emotions have they got addicted to? They're trained in their body as a pattern. And let's see if we can change the emotion. Let's see if we might change the beliefs, the values, the rules, or let's change the need that they're focusing on or find a better way to meet that need. See, this is what human needs psychology is about. Not labeling, not pushing somebody aside, but figuring out what their needs are and fulfilling them. When human beings' needs are fulfilled, they are an incredible place. Listen, the best leaders I know, General Schwarzkopf is just an amazing human being. And I remember talking with him right after the first Gulf War, when he really had made a difference, to say the least. And I talked to other people about him, and they all talked about that he's a practical psychologist. That's what this whole course is about, by the way. Not figuring out all these details so you can label somebody, figuring out how you can understand someone so you can help them, so you can help them meet their needs, so you can make the shift right away, so they get fulfilled. Well, Schwarzkopf's great genius was when he was talking to a guy from Duke, he had a different tone of voice, a different way of meeting his needs, and he's talking to a guy that came from the South that's been working on the railroad before he got there. He understood what their needs were. He figured out how to meet them where they lived, and these men would live and die for this general. See, that's true of a business person, that's true of a parent, that's true of an intimate. That's why we're taking the time to understand this, not just to understand a bunch of principles or distinctions, but to use them in a pragmatic and practical way that touches human beings' lives. That's what leadership's about. If we're going to influence somebody, we got to know what already influences them. That's probably the most important distinction to remember out of this conversation. If you're going to influence someone, you got to know what already influences them. And these three forces are what influence our destiny the most. So take the time to discover them. And in the next 10 days, each day, we're going to go through one step a day, take all this that I'm dumping on you, take heart, break it down to one thing, and just really master it. So that at the end of the 10 days, you'll have it in your body, and you'll be doing this for the people you care about, or in your business, or for yourself, or anywhere else you want to make a difference.